You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
An old shaman expansion to World of Warcraft. ShamWow. It sells itself.
And Daryl.
Don't tell anyone, but sometimes I turn into a ghost wolf just to slash dance.
Greetings, and tonight on episode 148 of The Training Dummies, Rob and Daryl both go to the exact same place to get their sound clips.
Imagine that. I wonder why we did that, hey?
This very special episode, those clips will probably get away here in a minute, but we are recording tonight, December 6th and 7th, and you know what that means. We've got a special international guest tonight. And before we get to that, Daryl, how you been doing, man?
I'm cold. I'm really, really cold.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's been...
We've moved outside of that.
Sunday, I think it hit. The cold started coming in Sunday night, so it's been minus 20 Celsius the last couple days, and we've been getting minus 30 wind chills. And it was minus 30 wind chill when I got up this morning, so that's always lots of fun. And then later in the week, we're actually supposed to drop down to minus 28 overnight, so not even counting the wind chill, just be minus 28.
So good, we've times. Moved outside of that that 6 week window where you get to wear shorts and t-shirts, huh?
Yeah. That all ended on Sunday.
That's great. Well, you know what? More importantly than that, we have a very, very special guest tonight. If we can get a warm Training Dummies welcome for Word Up. Now, if the Rhaegar clips at the top of the show didn't give it away, we're going to be talking all about the enhancement shaman tonight. But before we get to that, Word Up, we want to get to know you a little bit, because I know we were chatting a little bit before the show, and it sounds like you have a little bit of experience with the enhancement shaman, but we just want to get to know you a little bit. So, Mr. Word Up, when did you start playing, and what are you playing currently, if not the obvious?
Well, I suppose it is the obvious that I am still playing enhancement after a long, long decade of playing. I picked up the game just before the launch of TBC. It was on offer at a music store. So I just picked the game up and tried it after being staunchly against trying it, because I really enjoyed Warcraft 3 and I thought I wouldn't enjoy it. And lo and behold, I was woefully incorrect. And here we are now, 10 years and a lot of time later, still playing World of Warcraft.
That's awesome. Where, if you don't mind me asking, what part of the globe are you from? I absolutely love your accent.
I'm from Northern England, so I have got a bit of a rough and ready English accent compared to what I suppose most people will hear.
Yeah, it didn't sound like traditional English, but or British. I'm not sure the proper way to say it, but yeah, it's awesome. I love it. It's going to be a good show.
What is the origin of the name Word Up?
Well, at school, some friends of mine had a big thing for a song, an 80s song by the band called Cameo, which was Word Up. And I thought, yes, hey, it'd be a funny idea to actually like make an email address that's got that. That sounds like a hilarious joke, which at the age I thought it was, in hindsight, not really that funny. But that ended up just being my name on everything as soon as I'd had that, because it was my email address, so I might as well just stick with it. And it has followed me for a very long time since.
That's kind of awesome, because when we finally book a guest and we put it in our Discord, someone had saw that I posted you were going to be our guest in Discord, and on Twitter immediately following that, they linked me that video on YouTube for that song.
It is a fantastic song, an even better video, I might add.
There's some
brilliant outfits that are in it.
It may have come from years and years and years ago, but I would be more than happy to create an email address with that this very day.
That's awesome.
So what would you say is your most fond memory in or because of gaming?
Well, I mean, it's really hard to not link it to World of Warcraft, because that's the game I've played the most. So for me, it would probably be not the most exciting boss, but when I killed Sinestra, I'd just become an officer in a guild that I'd been in for a long time, and we did quite well on it. It was a lot better than expected, and the fight itself was really cool at the time, very sort of mysterious. So that was a really big deal for me, because it was the first time that I sort of stepped out of my comfort zone and was doing stuff for other people and not just myself, which has over the years developed into me also doing the guides and the other things. So that was like a deal breaker to make me more comfortable with actually explaining myself as opposed to just going through the motions that a lot of raiding tends to be.
What would you say are your top two favorite Blizzard titles?
Top two? I mean, I can't, again, cliche, I can't discount World of Warcraft because, I mean, with yes. the amount of time spent, it's hard to ignore that it's obviously a big deal. But other than that, the very first Blizzard title that I played was actually StarCraft Brood War. But whilst it was really, really fun, that was sort of like the icebreaker. The most fun I had was definitely with Warcraft 3 and Frozen Throne. That was an absolutely amazing experience when I first played it, because it was completely different from the landscape of other games that I've been playing at the time, at the age that I was, back at, I think I was around 13 or 14, and it was a really big deal to play something like that, that I could really get into, that had a lot of meat and bones on it. And that sort of hooked me immediately.
Right on.
I think a lot of people, if they thought back, they would say they kind of cut their teeth on the old StarCraft and even Diablo games. So that's not super uncommon for the RTS, I guess, Warcraft or StarCraft to be your kind of your first venture into Blizzard games.
Yeah, as soon as you try one, they sort of become quite infectious. There's something about the way that they design games. I don't know what it is. It's very hard to articulate, but every game that they have, I have played. I've at least given it a try. I mean, I'm a really big Diablo fan as well. But as soon as they do something, I'll try it anyway. And even if it's bad to the point where I won't keep playing it, it still wasn't bad to play it. I still really enjoyed it. So I don't know. It's almost like they can't fail. I mean, that's a really sort of fanboy thing to say, but I just really, I'll give them a chance on anything.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I mean, we've been doing this show for close to 5 years now. And it's like, even if you don't like something, it's still really good. Like, I don't ever play StarCraft now, but it's really good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really, like, you don't even have to, like, I know Daryl gets angry with Hearthstone and whatnot, but it's like, it's a really well done game. Like, it's the best of the genre, you know? So it's like, you can get mad at it for the RNG or for, you know, you just not your style of game, but it's like, it's hard to say that they just don't do a killer job at what they do.
Well, StarCraft's a great one. You just bring that up. Like, I played StarCraft 2 immediately as soon as it came out, and I'd at the time sort of grown out of the RTS thing. It wasn't really my thing because I'd very clearly established I wasn't very good at it, and it was not my thing. But I still played it, and I still played it a lot until it sort of petered off. But I still watched the streams of it. I still watched the games because it's just a really enjoyable sort of design that they take. They take it very seriously. There's a lot of passion in it, so I can appreciate that no matter what game it is that you do.
So what would you say is your favorite raid boss of all time? I know you mentioned kind of the moment that you had with your first kill earlier, but what's your top one?
Well, the boss that I'm a massive fanboy of tier 11. So almost any boss in tier 11, you can have me like talk your ear off about it. I'm a big fan of that. There's a few standout ones. I really like the original Magmor strategy, but that's sort of in the air, like not intended, but I thought it was really cool. But my favorite was Cho'Gall. I really, really enjoyed that, not least of which because enhancement was really, really good back then. So I have a really good memory of being very vital to actually doing the boss. But there was just something about the design, like the dichotomy of the fight, the way it played out, how important it was for the raid to move, and the end phase where it was really sort of high pressure. It sort of encompassed what I wanted in a fight.
That's actually when I got into raiding, and so I think like some of, like you're saying, a lot of my fond memories are just from that tier because, like you said, Magma. I remember just going in there and wiping, and like it was just like the most amazing thing. Like I hadn't mm-hmm. done raiding on that scale of in an MMO before, and it was just like, this is insane. We're fighting dragons and creatures and monsters, and like it was awesome.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything before that I mean, I had a few experiences in TBC. I really enjoyed Sunwell, but that's a bit of a cliche to just draw back on that. But Tier 11 was just the one that I always remember. It's right in the middle that I didn't enjoy anything as much as that time. Maybe it was the guild I was in, but it was just a really good experience.
Right on. What is your favorite thing about Legion so far?
I'd probably reservedly say that the class reworks are probably what I enjoy the most, because whilst I am I main enhancement and I play enhancement a lot, I really like playing and getting stuck into every melee class specifically. I'm very biased to melee. And I do really enjoy that they've separated specs a lot so that they play differently. I know that the balance is a bit off, and it's very easy for people to sort of harp on at Blizzard's balancing on that. But I really, really do like that each class plays very distinctly, and that you can feel like you're playing something different whilst you're doing the same kind of content just because you're playing a different class. And it no longer feels like it's the content plus the class, it's the class plus the content, which is a really important distinction to make for me.
Do those class halls kind of, I think, are what really set it off. Because I think at one point I had boiled it down to most classes, at least DPS, feel like they have a builder, spender kind of rhythm going on. But, I mean, they just vary so much. Like, you know, Shadow Priest, Builder Spender, Shaman, Builder Spender, Rogue, Builder Spender. But none of them feel like you're doing anything close to the same thing.
Yeah, that's a really big feel difference, I think, because they do tend to boil down to a very simple, basic design. So it could be a Builder Spender, it could be like the dual resource with Monks, with Energy and Chi. But it does feel like you're not building to the same thing all the time. So you might be building towards a dot, you might be building towards like a burst moment, like with Shadow Priests, with Void Form, or with Shaman, you're reacting to procs and maintaining buffs. So it really does feel like there's a different flow. And I think that's a massive success of the expansion that sometimes gets overlooked, because there's a lot of other features like Mythic Plus, which is a fantastic system, that are really much more obvious to people, because if they only play one class, they won't see that dichotomy between them. They'll just see what they see and then all the content in between.
I love it, man. That's exactly why I play alt so much, because it's the same game, but it's a completely different experience.
All right. Rob, do you have any bonus questions?
No, I'm actually really looking forward to this, because I jumped on my Shaman the other day and I started leveling, and I put about one level in, and I was just, it was different enough to me than any previous enhancement Shaman that I was like, you know what, I need to just wait. I knew this show was coming, so I just wanted to wait and have this show so I could kind of immerse in it a little bit. So,
all right. Yeah, I guess we'll get on to it then. Let's see here.
This is DJ Riff from twitch.tv/DJ Riff, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Robin Darrell.
All right. If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter, and that is at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland. Myself, Daryl, is at Hend_TTD. And I just want to throw in this just so I can mention it to Rob and Word up here, how I was talking about how I was going to use push to talk tonight so that my mic wasn't open all the time, because you might hear my kids in the background because they're not in bed yet. But my mic is open all the time on the recording because it bypasses Discord to get recordings. So I'm just going to leave my mic open now. And hopefully I haven't made any silly... hopefully I didn't make any silly noises in the first 10 minutes. I know I did. I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? It took me a while. So people might hear me drinking coffee or whatever or whatever in the first 10 minutes here. Yeah. I don't think I was moving any tables. But anyway, we're here to discuss Enhancement Shaman tonight. Shaman was the second class I got to 110, and it was my main that I rolled on release day, and has been my main until I might have said it wasn't, like the week before BlizzCon. So it's always had a good spot in my heart, because I've really enjoyed playing Shaman. But this expansion, I leveled up as Resto, because that's what I've always been mainly as a healer in the past. So this time around, I decided to go, you know, I'll do Restoration to level up. And I did that, and it wasn't bad, because I played with my wife most of the time anyway. And she was a mage, so she was able to do most of the damage when we were leveling. It wasn't till, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago, I finally went out and got my enhancement artifact. But I don't know what I'm doing. I know I played it a little bit in the beta, and I had no clue, because it's quite a bit different now, because the way it does have the builder spender, like you're building Maelstrom, but I don't know what I should be doing to build it first, what I should be spending, etc. So anyway, I'm looking forward to this just so that I can have a clue when I play enhancement. So I see you have a little bit here at the beginning before we get into the stats. So do you want to just start this off for us then?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I know we're going to go into the talents a bit later, but it's really important to immediately at the start say that that the tier 15 talent, you are really locked into Boulder Fist. You don't get a choice really at the moment. It's obscenely better than the other two right now. It's changing in 7.1.5, but you have to take it, basically. It's far, far too strong. So that alters a bit the generation because you're on a charge system instead of a spammable builder, but you'll generate more at once. Once you get rolling in a fight, though, for enhancement, especially at, like, even a modicum of gear, say like you're around 850, which is quite reasonable, I'd say, for the average layman player, you end up with so much all the time because there's so many ways of generating it. So your auto attack's generating 5, your Wind Fury proc's generating 10, Boulder Fist is generating at least 25, that you'll cast it once at the start, and that'll, by and large, give you enough to set yourself up, and it almost sort of flows itself. You do have to be careful not to overcommit and overspend on your fillers that aren't important, which is Lava Lash and Crash Lightning, so that you can use Stormbringer, which is the other big change that they added, which I think is everybody's favorite change, reservedly, because it does feel really good to press big Storm Strikes back to back to back for the amount of damage it does. As long as you don't overspend and you don't drain yourself of Maelstrom so you get blocked from spending it, then you're usually good. And the rest of it is mostly just buff maintenance between the talents. So that's usually with Hailstorm and Landslide and the baseline Flame Tongue. That fills up the core in between. And then the rest of it is simply just reacting to Stormbringer. Once you get it, you press it immediately. It's the best button to press. It feels the best to press. And you know that it's good because the button lights up on the bar. And if it does that, it must be good. I mean, I know it's a really basic way of explaining it.
So this, then, before we get into too much, then, this, the core of the gameplay is very mechanical. Then there's not a lot of choices. You kind of just go through a pretty fixed rotation.
There's a very fixed priority list as to what to cast when. But because it's very RNG, because Stormbringer is a pure chance, and the same goes for Wind Fury, it's just a percent chance on your main hand attacks, scaling with your mastery. You aren't always able to cast it when you want to, but as soon as it happens, you have to react to it because you could waste more. But there is a general drop-down list that you will follow point by point, and once you get to the bottom, you start spending it on less ideal things like Lava Lash, but at the top, you'll go down kind of like a checklist. It's kind of different to older enhancement, like Warlord's enhancement, where you had different spells to cast and you could always cast them because they had charges and you just interweaved them. Now it's more on you to react to them and to keep up with what's going on. So it's a lot more active. It's a lot less stagnant would be the word I'd use.
Maybe that's what was confusing to me, because I was kind of used to, like, previously just being like... It was like a rhythm, like a waltz almost. It was just like dun, 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 dun. And you always kind of knew exactly what, you know, at a tempo what you were going to be doing. And so if you're reacting a little more to a couple of procs, that's kind of nice. That throws some flavor into it, I think, that maybe was missing before.
Yeah, that was a big thing with older enhancement styles, where you knew what was coming 2, 3, 4 globals in advance. You knew what you were going to press. And occasionally you had the old Maelstrom weapon, Lightning Bolts, that would maybe spice it up occasionally. But by and large, you knew what was going to come. And that was that you had full control over it. But there was no real room for any sort of extreme explosive damage or RNG or anything. It was purely go by the motions and play enhancement, which was a generally very good play style as well. Enhancement was quite unique because it wasn't a resource class. But I think that they've pulled it off very, very well for Legion, to transition it over and still feel kind of the same, but have a bit more of a focused style to it.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to move on to stats here.
I was going to say we've kind of been dancing around it a little bit. Maybe we start off with just the stat priorities and then move into talents.
Well, the stat priority is 99% set in stone. Sans a few very niche things. That mastery is better than haste, is better than verse, is better than crit. Always, because mastery has a really profound effect on your rotation because it's increasing your Stormbringer chance and is just increasing all of your elemental damage, which in turn is being enhanced by the weapon buffs that you're applying with Flame Tongue and Frostbrand through Hailstorms and Talent. And that in itself is just really powerful. Anything that increases the chance of you getting Stormbringer is really big. Then you've got haste, which is kind of symbiotic with mastery because it's going to give you more main hand attacks, which is more chances to proc the Stormbringers, with your increased chance because you've stacked mastery ideally, and more instances of you proccing your weapon buffs. And then verse and crit, they don't really have any interaction at all. They just sort of sit there as a flat passive damage bonus. So they sort of at the wayside. They're not that exciting, they're not that interesting, and there's not really anything that they change.
Maybe I missed it. What did you say the mastery was for enhancement?
The mastery is a little bit more complicated than average, but it's sort of a twofold thing. You've got the base section, which is like the old mastery, where it's a flat increase to elemental damage, so fire, frost, and nature, which is everything from Boulder Fist or Rockbiter or Flame Tongue and Hailstorm and so on. And then it's also got a much lower scaling portion that increases the chance to trigger Stormbringer and Windfury, which Stormbringer being the Stormstrike reset and Windfury being the old Windfury mechanic of a couple of extra hits that also generate Maelstrom as well now and can also trigger Stormbringer. So you get into a really long feedback loop with enhancement where the stat scales off itself. So it's a really powerful tool to sort of really stack up.
So maybe a little bit of a throwback to the old school one-shot PvP mechanic when you were using the two-hander and you would just go up and whack somebody and he'd be gone.
Well, they unashamedly did that this expansion. I think there's a little bit
so
of a
good
tangent.
Yeah.
There's a trait on the artifact that has Stormstrike having a chance to proc itself when you use it, which is almost exactly the same as Windfury proccing itself. And it's not as obvious because you don't press it and it kills someone, but it is still a really cool throwback to what they had then.
Yeah.
And it does play kind of the same.
All right. That's perfect, man.
Well, let's get into the talents then. Now, reading in your notes here, you say it's very locked in. But if you want to go through each talent tier and maybe say why it's locked in, like why the other two are a bad choice. And now I usually only bring up one person's talents to look to see how they've done. But this time I have two. I have myself, but I also have a friend of ours who was on the raid team who mains an enhancement shaman. So I'm going to be judging him and myself to see how we did as we go through these talent tiers. He told us we could. He said, yeah,
actually,
you guys can throw me under the bus.
He said, go ahead and use him as the as the point of reference. So,
okay, so I want to preface this very carefully because it has been a contentious thing over the course of the beta that it is really locked in and there aren't many choices, but it is really understandable that it's sort of ended like that because the rework to enhancement was sort of ground up completely different. Everything is gone. So it's no surprise that they may have neglected some of the talents in lieu of just making sure the spec works, which I think is a completely fair thing to happen.
Okay.
Just as like a disclaimer for me, so I don't sound like I'm sort of trashing the tier because I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah, I know that generally they want you to be able to swap, you know, between AoE and single target and, you know, more flavor based. You pick what you want. But, you know, I think in some cases, one is just going to win out. There's nothing you can do. And it sounds
like enhancement went through like a real sort of growing period in the beta where the talent tree was looked a lot different. There were a lot of different choices of single target AoE sustained or burst or so on every tier. And they ended up just consolidating all of the AoE into one tier so you couldn't talent four or five different AoE talents and suddenly be a monster whenever you pulled loads of stuff. But I think that was a fair choice. But,
all right, let's start with the tier 15 then.
All right, so on tier 15 you have Windsong, Hot Hand, which is a notorious meme in the enhancement community, which is very difficult to even take seriously the amount of things that people have said about it, and Boulder Fist, which, as I said before, is an immediate lock-in. So in 7.1.5, which is a bit more perspective, this tier has basically already been fixed. It's a lot more balanced.
Okay.
But as of right now, the problem is that Windsong does provide you a little bit of a burst window. It's just not that impactful because you still have to use Rockbiter, which isn't that great. And Maelstrom as a resource, because we get so much of it, isn't very valuable. So getting more of it doesn't really leverage anything for you, which in the same vein is what Hot Hand does. It basically allows you to get free Lava Lash casts without having to spend Maelstrom on it. But the Lava Lash casts aren't valuable, even if they're doubled in damage, because Lava Lash is such a weak spell that it just clogs up the rotation. you end up having all of these procs that you're trying to juggle, and there's obviously a priority on them. So your Stormbringer procs will always beat Hot Hand procs right now. So often it can get refreshed, get wasted, get lost, and so mm-hmm. it's just completely not worth it. And then you come on to Boulder Fist, which basically does not do what it was intended to do, which was to reduce the global cooldown lock that the class has, because you still have it with Boulder Fist now, because its cooldown isn't quite there. It is on the PTR, but right now it's not. So you basically play the exact same, except the occasional filler to generate that you cast deals double the damage, generates double the maelstrom, and it gives you 5% crit and 5% damage all the time. So it's just an overwhelmingly massive amount of free stuff for no cost. So it means that everything else that it competes with doesn't stand a chance, which has always been the case with it.
Okay.
I do have a quick question. You mentioned the PTR. Do you feel like the talent or even the rotation is going to change very much between now and potentially what we're looking at with 7.1.5?
The talent choices will probably have, maybe not an overwhelming change, but it will have a change in it here or there. It'll definitely be a lot more flexible to choice. And other smaller things like legendaries that look like they should change some talents, but don't right now, do in the PTR, which is kind of a big deal because that's a really big common question. Like, I got this legendary, should I change to this talent that plays into it? Which, logically thinking, you should. On the PTR, you do, but right now you do not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really good thing because no one likes to get a legendary that doesn't do anything.
Well, yeah.
That's just orange, and that's all it is for the sake of being orange.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the reason I ask that is because I know we're literally right around the corner from that. And so, you know, doing a class guide, I didn't know, you know, we kind of want to go into some of this saying, you know, Boulder Fist is your go-to now, but keep him, you know, but, you know, looks like Hot Hand may be good or Windsong may be good. I don't know.
Well, prospectively, from what I've done on the PTR, that whole tier is sort of blown wide open in the PTR. You can almost choose any of them. So that's a really good point. Because Boulder Fist is having its recharge time increased, so you have a lot more downtime now. Mm. And Hot Hand is being buffed indirectly through them buffing the raw damage of Lava Lash and also buffing the legendary braces. So that combination is really strong. Windsong, on its own, was never a bad tool. It was just the opportunity cost of not having Boulder Fist. But now that Boulder Fist is going down in strength, Windsong sort of brings itself back up because of the excess Stormbringer procs that you're gaining from it, the fact that you can couple it with other cooldowns like Doomwinds, the artifact trait, that's really powerful for it, which is a really, like, really big boon for evening out that tier, which I think they've done a really good job on, because that was the most contentious tier for me.
Good. That's kind of good to hear. Mm-hmm. I don't think by any design philosophy they want to look at a tier and just know that two of the talents are might as well just be blank, because one of them just outweighs the other one so much.
Yeah, that's definitely been a design philosophy across the PTR on loads of classes I've played, that they are actively looking at the ones that are completely off the charts, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go into tier 30 then here.
All right, so tier 30 is...
Tier 45 next.
No, we haven't done tier 30 yet, I don't think.
No, that's. I'm just saying, Feral Lunge is so good, and it's just so fun. Like, I know one of the other ones is good, but Feral Lunge is so cool. Like, I don't even care.
Tier 30 is sort of... It might as well just be the movement tier, because Rainfall is utterly terrible. It's so meager how much healing it contributes. It has been buffed again on the PTR, which maybe one day you'll find a fight where it's useful, but right now, absolutely
it's not
no-go. Okay. Too much investment for very little return, and it won't impact your raid. It won't let you do anything crazy. Feral Lunge is a charge that Shaman have wanted since as long as I can remember, mm-hmm. so at least 10 years. A little bit unresponsive because it's on the global cooldown. It has the travel time, but a charge is a charge. So,
yeah.
I mean, it does what it needs to do. And Windrush Totem is basically stampeding raw totem, which is really useful on a number of fights as long as you know how to use it. So you have actually got a choice between personal and raid mobility, which is a good middle ground because everyone wants to have that choice to help your raids if you need to on some mechanics, and that's what that offers.
All right. Level 45.
On 45, it is unilaterally for me. It's Lightning Surge Totem because an AoE stun is always better than both other opportunities. Oh, sorry, other options is the word. Mm-hmm. Voodoo Totem is it's too small and it's way too niche to make use of, because it's a soft CC that can break and it's quite a short duration, whereas a hard stun for 5 seconds is a big deal. Even if it has got the wind-up time, it's easier to predict. There's a very small number of fights that Earthgrab Totem has been useful on, which is more than I can say for the entirety of Warlords. So that's a good choice.
Okay.
If you can find a reason. But
I
can't honestly recommend not
which
so
fight.
Like for when you're leveling and you want to run away from mobs that are chasing you.
I suppose.
So fights that I personally used it on. I also have to preface that I have Sephir's Secret, which it does proc, so I may occasionally use it just to proc that, and it may not actually be the best choice. But it was good on Ilganoth to root and slow the adds by the boss. This was before they re-added Earthbind to his baseline. And
okay.
It was also useful on Cenarius to root the Wisps and slow them as well. Other than that, not overwhelmingly good.
Okay.
So Lightning Surge, is that just renamed Capacitor Totem?
It's the old Capacitor Totem, but it's on a 2-second charge instead of a 5-second charge, which makes it infinitely more pleasant to play with, because 5 seconds and waiting and waiting and waiting for the stun to go off is a lot of prediction time.
I think there was a glyph or something that shortened. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a glyph that dropped to 3, which was also a godsend. But at 2 seconds, it's unlikely that you'll drop it and something will get way too far out of range, mm-hmm. or you'll miss something.
Right.
Just about the right amount of time that you can predict it.
I could see this Lightning Surge being ridiculously powerful for like Mythic Plus runs.
In Mythic Plus, there's no question. Both of their options, there's not a chance that you'll choose those. Lightning Surge is an extremely strong tool. Same like with a Monk, you're going to take Leg Sweep. You'll take Lightning mm-hmm. Surge because it's just too powerful.
All right. Well, if we look at level 60 here now looking at myself and this other shaman, this is the first tier that we differ. So I'm curious as to who made the better choice.
Okay,
or
so
if either of you did.
Exactly.
The first thing is that Lightning Shield is a write-off. It's way too undertuned to be useful. Sees use in PvP because you get hit a lot, which is going to trigger it. But in PvE, it does no damage relative to the alternatives.
So, Lightning Shield bad.
Lightning Shield is definitely
okay.
Don't,
it looks
don't take
like
Lightning Shield.
It looks like I failed this tier.
I did not, but we'll see.
I may have Lightning
then,
Shield right now. All right.
Well, it's not too late to change.
Yes, yes.
Well, but I mean, if you're looking at old enhancement shield,
well, yeah.
Like, that was kind of signature to them to have that little shield going around, and you know it did damage. It's cool.
Yeah, it was a it's been a mechanic for God knows, like right from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and it had so many iterations and stuff it did that it's unusual that now it's basically a redundant talent. Even in the beta, I think it had 3 or 4 different mechanic changes to it as to how it worked, and none of them really did work, which is a shame.
Right,
it's. They're trying to work it for the PTR, but it's, again, still struggling. But it has got that if you're getting hit aspect. It can be useful. With the other two talents, Ancestral Swiftness is a sort of catch-all universal. Isn't bad. It's free 10% haste, which is totally fine. You can almost boil it down to 10% flat damage all the time because haste is a good stat.
Mm-hmm.
Lowering your global cooldown, and we are effectively global cooldown locked, so it's more spells, more casts. But the absolute winner on the tier by a significant margin for what we are good at, which is generally single target and priority burst, is Hailstorm, and it's a really core part of the spec almost now because it fills the sort of triumvirate of buffs with the earth buffs with Boulder Fist, the fire buff with Flame Tongue, and the frost with Hailstorm. That without Hailstorm, you do actually lose a lot, because we hit so fast.
Oh, wow.
Hailstorm deals so much damage that you get so many procs over and over again, it contributes a massive amount of your damage. And the biggest part is it upscales with your RNG, so the more Stormbringers you proc, the more procs of Hailstorm you get, and it sort of rolls over on itself. Hailstorm is just... Well, I know it's too strong because they're nerfing it in the PTR. But
okay.
It's hard to overstate how good it is.
All right.
Okay, yeah. That's good enough. If they're nerfing it, then it's probably the go-to right now.
All right. Well, 0 for me, 1 for Kranos. All right, then. Okay, level 75, what do we got here?
Okay, on 75, I'm going to start with the not good ones and end with the one that's you always take. So not good ones, straight off, is overcharge. Overcharge is an extra button that also spends Maelstrom, but is a filler. So it's yet another button that you don't. It doesn't really do anything. It's a bit more damage, but it's a lot of Maelstrom investment to press it. And it's got a cooldown, so it's another thing to juggle that you may end up overcommitting globals to, so you can't spend Stormbringer when it happens, and you end up sort of outplaying yourself because of it. Again, preface, that is getting buffed in 715, and it might be better. It does seem like it is a bit better, but it is the most difficult thing to pull off,
okay. And
for very little gain. On top of that, you've then got Empowered Stormlash. This is the easy passive talent, and it's not a bad choice.
Yeah.
It does increase your damage if you've got a group of people to proc it on, but it's not brilliant. Stormlash isn't a massive contribution overall.
Okay.
And the main reason that it's not is because if you don't take Tempest, the hit in your single target damage is enormous. Because Tempest has a sort of... Not only does it increase your damage, the biggest thing is that it sort of mitigates the RNG a little bit because it gives you a bit more time to reproc Stormbringer because you get two of them. And since the only way of proccing Stormbringer is main hand attacks, and the only two active abilities you have that are main hand attacks is Storm Strike, which is coming from Stormbringer, and Crash Lightning, you need as many chances as you can get to keep it rolling, because the longer the chain goes, the more powerful the burst ends up being. So any kind of RNG manipulation, of which this is the only thing that enhancement has on the entire tree, is sort of incredibly valuable. So Tempest is unavoidably strong right now.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
So even in an AoE situation, would you say to still roll with Tempest?
Absolutely. In AoE, both the other options don't really have any gain from AoE. So the ability to have... There's a lot of interactions with the artifacts that having Stormbringer up is important. So the longer that you can get it up, the better. And Tempest achieves that a lot. It allows you to fill a lot more of your global cooldowns with just pressing Stormstrike.
The longer you can get it up, the better.
Well.
All right, then. Okay, on that note.
That's like a reoccurring theme with Shaman, isn't it? Or with Enhancement Shaman.
Yes, there we go. Okay, let's just go past that intent to level 90 here.
Right, so this is the AoE tier where they consolidated everything into one. And the only choice right now is Crashing Storm, because Crashing Storm is free damage for AoE, because you're always pressing Crash Lightning, so you're triggering the pool on the ground. And it allows you to use Crash Lightning in single target as well to get more chances to proc Stormbringer, which, again, is a recurring theme. So because of that, it's really hard to not pick it, especially because the two alternatives, Fury of Air right now does really low damage for the Maelstrom investment, because it's a lot of ticking Maelstrom over and over again that you have to keep up for very little benefit. Though, again, on the PTR, Fury of Air actually looks like it's the best choice because they've reduced the cost, they've increased the damage, so it's a lot of free background damage.
Okay.
It just has a bit of teething problems on live at the moment. And lastly, Sundering is arguably, whilst one of the coolest on the entire tier, arguably the single worst talent on the entire tier of any choices.
Because really?
It's so expensive and it deals such a meager amount of damage for its cooldown that you can't weave it. Even in AoE, it just doesn't beat out the alternatives because of how much it drains you when you cast it.
So when you say bad, like you mean like really bad? Like you should probably...
I mean like a catastrophe.
Like yeah. if you picked it, you probably shouldn't main an Enhancement Shaman.
Well, you should probably go back to Dalaran and quickly change it to something else.
Okay.
And then you, then awesome. It's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I can...
There's a lot of... He's saying the absolute, there's a lot of redemption here. It's not too late.
I can be the absolute arbiter and the devil's advocate. And there is very fringe uses in Mythic Plus because it's another knockback, another interrupt, that in emergencies, you could find use out of it.
I just thought it looked investment. Cool.
Well, it does look really cool.
I was terrible at hitting anything with it. I'm like, oh, man, I missed. So anyway... Okay,
on,
so
again, on the PTR,
use it for World Quest.
Rectified it.
Yeah.
On the PTR, they have rectified it a little bit, but it's not something I would recommend to anyone.
Alright, so I have two talents to change. Alright. Let's see how I did at level 100.
Okay, so 100 starts with our old cooldown, Ascendance, which is markedly worse than it was in both expansions we've had since.
I've never
especially
liked that
worse
talent.
Than the Missing Pandaria Ascendance.
You always hated
that. I've hated that ability. I never liked it. It just felt underwhelming, always.
The thing that it always used to be is that it was very consistent. You knew exactly how many wind strikes you'd get during it. It was always 2/3, depending on your haste in Warlords. Now, you press that, and it does have an effect, but you could either have a chain of 15 wind strikes because you proc over and over again, and then it's good, or you could get no Stormbringers and you cast it twice, and it's basically a redundant cooldown. It didn't really do much. And that swing is so, so big for a 3-minute cooldown that it's not worth taking. The rarest occasion I've used it, I used it on the very beginning during the early Ilganoth when we burned him down in one phase. But even then, that was very frustrating to press it and not get procs. So I think the RNG nature of it just completely pushes it out. On the alternative, you have Landslide, which is the ultimate consistency talent. It's just 8% agility all the time when you press Boulder Fist, which is going to be every 10 seconds, which is the uptime. So 8% agility for free, effectively 8% damage. It's very difficult to just not take it all the time, which is what generally you do.
Okay.
And then lastly is Earthen Spike, which, much like Overcharge a couple of tiers before, is another more convoluted button that doesn't really do a lot. It complicates the rotation. It puts you in a situation where you... Well, you can't spend the procs that you got because you spent your Maelstrom on this. And it doesn't affect all the damage we do, especially it doesn't affect Hailstorm or Flame Tongue, which is a reasonable portion of our damage. So it's just not worth it compared to Landslide.
Okay.
So what's up with these abilities that look amazing that are evidently terrible?
The overwhelming issue with it isn't a mechanical design standpoint. It's simply just the number tuning knob on it isn't right. They could be good. It's just they aren't quite there compared to the other easier options that are on there that have no downside. So Earthen Spike on the PTR has had its Maelstrom cost removed, which is a really significant change because it means that you can know how much Maelstrom you're going to have available when you start it up and you can start chaining. It also, again, works with the buffed Overcharge, so you can buff that damage going into that window. The only problem is that, again, Earthen Spike only affects a portion of the damage, whereas Landslide affects all of it. So it makes it very difficult to quantify how valuable that is. And if you break it down to the raw hard numbers, it's very difficult for Earthen Spike to compete even with the change, which is a sad situation because I really like Earthen Spike.
So looking good isn't quite enough to make it.
It continues the tradition of if you played Warlord's Enhancement of Elemental Blast, which was maybe the coolest spell that Shaman have ever had, with the big three elemental balls that fly out, but was never quite there. But when you pressed it, it felt really cool, so it almost made up for it. It just not quite. It has the exact same problem. It's just not enough for what you have to invest in it.
That was another ability I really didn't like, because I was resto mainly, but then to be effective, you had to work in this damage talent or elemental blast.
After spirit, yeah.
Yeah. So it was ridiculous. Like, I think that's what finally pushed me away from my shaman. Is just I hated that mechanic of it. It was awful. Awful.
Well, didn't you never really, you weren't ever really sure what buff you were going to get from it, too?
I think that the resto one wasn't the resto one spirit and something?
You got spirit every time you used it. Plus something else. So that made it mandatory, basically, for resto.
See, testing my healing mechanics is a bit more difficult because I'm not as up on the healing, in fairness.
You know.
I'm having to sort of grasp at straws on that one.
Yeah, we told you this would be easy, and then we're asking all these old, outdated questions.
Well, hey, he brought up Elemental Blast, not me, so. All right. Okay, so I need to respec two. I need to get rid of Sundering and Lightning Shield and Kranos, 100%. He is on the ball talent selection.
Sweet.
That is good. Well,
one thing that came up a couple of times, though, that sounds like there's always redemption. You can definitely go back and fix your mistake.
Yeah, it could always be worse.
Exactly.
You do have to half and do it, though. There's no doing out in the field.
No, but I'm probably sitting in Dalaran right now, so I think I'm good. All right, so let's get on to resource management. Now, this is, in terms of our class guides, this is a new heading I put in here when we did our Shadow Priest one, because I was confused on how it all worked with the insanity and everything. So now I want to keep this in here because they've revamped how pretty much every class deals with resource management. So do you want to, you know, give us how do we deal with resource management for the Shaman? Because that, I think, was the biggest problem I was having in trying to figure out all the changes they had done from Warlords to Legion.
Okay, so it's not as complicated as some other classes, like some of the energy classes where you have to sort of bounce up and down. Enhancement sort of just has a threshold where you want to have that much if something procs. So you'll get to around 40 to 60. That's a nice early start zone. And then you'll bounce between around 40 and 80, generally speaking. Okay. And that'll be enough that if Stormbringer procs, you can just fire off 3 Storm Strikes back to back to back. And if it keeps procking, then you can keep going. You'll generate some Maelstrom as it goes. And you'll basically extend the chain as long as the chain wants to go, as long as the game wants to be nice to you. So everything generally costs Maelstrom, sans the generators, which is Boulder Fist, and Flame Tongue, which is your fire weapon buff.
Okay.
Those effectively become fillers where you refresh the buff whenever you get the chance, but not over-refresh it, obviously. So with the pandemic mechanic, which is 30% less left on the buff, you can refresh it then. Okay. You'll be doing that with Frostbrand and Flame Tongue. Then the rest of the time, you'll be pressing Stormstrike when you can press Stormstrike, and then using Boulder Fist to get a surplus of Maelstrom when that happens. And whenever you get too much, you'll spend the Maelstrom on Crash Lightning first and foremost, because you have Crashing Storm, of course, and not Sundering. And it does a bit more damage, well, about the same damage as Lava Lash, and can proc Stormbringer. So you want to fish for those procs. And if you still have too much Maelstrom, we're talking around the region of about 110, then you can start dumping on Lava Lash to get rid of some of it. And then you can just go back into the flow of generating a bit more surplus, hoping that you get a proc, and then firing off.
Okay, I think. I wish I had...
I know it's yeah, quite a lot all at once, because it is sort of like a consolidated package.
Yeah.
There's no hard and fast rule as to how you do it. You have to... It's a very sort of feel spec. You get used to it because you know the flow of your buff up time, and you'll refresh your buff, say it. You'll do it at 5 seconds now because you don't have any procs. You have a lot of Maelstrom. You'll refresh your Frostbrand, and then you'll keep going. But you do have procs now. You'll leave it to the last second. You'll refresh it at 1 second, and then you'll keep going. It's very much juggling a lot of eggs at the same time. You have to sort of be able to react to what's going on at the time, as opposed to being dictated as to what's going to happen, because you don't necessarily know.
Okay.
I like how there's, you know, it's kind of, you know, you have to keep your eye on it. And if you want to maximize it, there's a few things you got to keep your eye on the procs. And, but it's not completely, you know, like whack-a-mole, ret, pally, you know, it's a little more, you know, it seems a little more consistent, right?
Yeah. You've got your base package, which is your weapon buffs, and they sort of sit on the left. That's something you always do. You keep your weapon buffs active. And then on the right, you've got your procs, which is Stormbringer right now. And the left always has to be maintained. But on the right, whenever that happens, you have to instantly pick up on it and react. And then you go back to the left side. And they juggle between that.
Okay, so I got to look at the talent here. So what does Stormbringer do for you then? Or that's not in the talents. So if Stormbringer procs, what do you do? Or what is it giving you? Like, why is it so important?
Okay, Stormbringer resets the cooldown of Stormstrike, and assuming we have Tempest, gives 2 charges, which is 2 half-cost Stormstrikes, so they cost 20 Maelstrom each.
Okay.
And obviously you get the normal Stormstrike after, so it's basically, it procs and you can cast Stormstrike 3 times.
Okay.
Without Tempest, it's only 2 times, because you don't get the 2 charges. And right, since Stormstrike is the biggest explosive finisher that Enhancement has, the biggest spender, any chance that you can press it is a really big deal, because it does do a lot of damage, and it procs all of your weapon buffs, and it has the chance to proc Wind Fury from your main hand. It's basically like a master button. Like, it does everything you can think of.
Okay.
For enhancement. So any chance that you get, you'll press it. The one caveat is that if it does proc and you don't have weapon buffs up, it is okay to refresh them because you don't know how long the chain is going to go. And you're hedging your bets if you refresh them that it'll either be a short one or a long one. And either of those is fine if you refresh, because if it's a long one, you get all the procs from the weapon buffs that you've refreshed. If it's a short one, you didn't waste any Stormbringer procs, but you got the free extra damage. The only thing is right in the middle, like it refreshes two or three times. It's a slight loss, but I think I lean on the side of you want to go for the best and worst case scenario, which is refreshing, than sort of playing to the absolute worst possible thing that could happen if you refresh them. But it is a feel thing. It's an unusual thing to explain. And it's probably the question I've had the most this expansion as to do I refresh buffs?
Right. Okay. So, okay. I'm just trying to. Sorry. I should have jumped on my shame a little more before this. But I'm just trying to get this figured out. So your Maelstrom generation is from Boulder Fist and from your Flame Tongue. Now, is Flame Tongue, does it just create a buff which just RNG generates every now and then some Maelstrom, or is it a constant tick or?
I might have mis-explained that.
Oh, sorry.
Boulder Fist is like you're active. You press Boulder Fist and it gives you Maelstrom. Your passive Maelstrom comes from your auto attacks, which is 5 per swing.
Oh, okay.
So enhancement does attack relatively slow without any buffs on, because it's a 2.6 weapon.
Right.
And Wind Fury procs, which come from your main hand or the artifact ability, they generate 10, because it's 2 hits and 5 each. So all of your Maelstrom is encompassed between Boulder Fist, your auto attacks, and your Wind Fury procs.
Okay.
But you're not just dead in the water if you don't have Boulder Fist, because your auto attacks are generating your resource.
You are still getting a solid background amount yet, so it's not entirely active. You do get it's very similar to energy, except it's tied to you actually attacking something as opposed to it just being in the background. But it does have a very distinct flow to it when you're playing it. You get used to the pacing as it goes.
Okay, I think I got it. And then the Lava Lash, like you're only using that and Crash Lightning if you have more than like 60 Maelstrom.
Yeah, it's to bleed off excess, because you never want to cap Maelstrom. That means that you wasted potential.
Okay.
So you bleed it off first with Crash Lightning because it can proc Stormbringer. And then if you still have too much, then you bleed it off with Lava Lash, and that covers the bases. That's all they really exist for. They don't do a lot of damage. They don't interact with anything, really. They're just there to bleed any excess, because you want your surplus, but you don't want it to extend to the point where it gets wasted.
Okay. Okay, I think
there's just way more. I'm already just like understanding that there's just way more to the new enhancement shaman of Legion than, I mean, especially if you grew up with the other one, right? It has a feel of some of the abilities that you had before, but the rotation is different enough to where it can kind of come off as complicated at first. Would you say?
I think when you pick it up straight away, the floor is very high, sort of to pick everything up all at once, because there is a lot of things that you have to juggle. But the ceiling isn't that high. It just sort of sits in a middle ground, where once you've got that central manage my buffs, manage my Maelstrom, react to my procs thing down, there's not a great deal past that that you can go way off. Like, you aren't dot weaving like old Shadow Priests were in Wards. You aren't juggling your energy and your Blood Talon procs like Feral does. But the floor is, if you can't manage those buffs, you can't react to those procs, then you will do very poorly.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's get to AoE, because I remember what the AoE used to be like. You'd put on Flame Shock, and then you'd Lava Lash to spread that around, and then you'd use, Fire Nova? But now I have no clue, because two of those abilities I don't even have anymore.
Well, I have to pay my respects to Fire Nova, because that is something that I am sad that we lost, because that was an amazing AoE tool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's super fun, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, our AoE is a little bit more muted and, dare I say, a bit boring, but all you do is you press Crash Lightning, and if you hit two targets, then you get a buff, and that makes Stormstrike and Lavalash casts do a very small splash of about 100% weapon damage as nature. Like a bit of excess math there. But it's a moderate splash on anything in range when you cast them, and that's your AoE. So effectively, it just means you do the exact same single target rotation, but you hit Crash Lightning a little bit more frequently. So it becomes the top priority once three targets are in range. Okay. And then you just do your normal thing.
All right. Well, that's easy at least, I suppose. All right. No, go ahead, Rep. Sorry.
Yeah, it definitely like it offsets the amount of juggling that you need to do in single target, because once it gets to AoE, you're doing the exact same anyway. So you haven't got that much of a problem to transition compared to some other specs that have to think about it a bit more. We just do our thing, which especially on lower targets, because you're already doing a lot of single target damage anyway, you're just getting completely free cleave damage, which is fantastic. It's a really powerful tool for a lot of encounters, a lot of different content types, which makes it, whilst not the most explosive AoE, a really, really powerful tool. And generally, free AoE has always been really strong in the game. Like you look back to Lich King with Warriors, it was just completely free. So they were worth taking because there was no downside to it.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about cooldowns? What are the main cooldowns and when should we be using them?
The stock cooldown for enhancement is Feral Spirit, which is on its own quite weak at the very, very base. It deals a moderate amount of damage and it generates 5 Maelstrom per hit that they do. So it gives you a massive surplus of Maelstrom to the point where you have to spend to not cap when they're up.
Oh, okay.
Once you start getting into the artifact, there's two traits that affect it. You've got Alpha Wolf and Doom Wolves. The first Alpha Wolf makes Crash Lightning whilst they're active, turn them into AoE machines where they will pulse AoE on things around them, which is really strong. And also works on single target. So it basically means when you cast it, as soon as you have that trait, the very first global after, no matter what, is Crash Lightning to activate Alpha Wolf, and they will do that. And then Doom Wolves turns them into Elemental Wolves instead. So instead of being the regular ones, there'll be a Fire, Lightning, or Frost. There's a hierarchy as to which ones are better, but generally it's just free extra damage. They'll do another attack, and they'll be a lot stronger. So they are a fairly respectable cooldown. We're not talking like on the levels of Crusade for Rets, where it's an unreal cooldown, but it is a solid cooldown, does a good bit of damage, contributes single and AoE, which is something that we never had because we never really had AoE cooldowns. So they're definitely better than they have been for a long time.
Right.
Do Feral Spirits still heal you?
No, unfortunately, that is gone.
I think that was one thing I noticed. I pulled a little too big while I was leveling. You know, I kind of got used to the leveling a couple of tanks and being like, oh, I'll just pull these 10 mobs over here. And then I was like, oh, and then I popped Feral Spirits. And I'm like, what? I'm dying. No, help. You're supposed to heal me.
The enhancement self-healing is definitely dropped. That is something that I think overwhelmingly I've heard from people, that it doesn't feel quite as much like you can go crazy and pull everything and it doesn't matter, you'll heal through it anyway. But at the same time, I've got to be honest, like I did feel a little bit dirty sometimes pulling 30, 40 mobs, pressing Ancestral Guidance and pressing Fire Nova and just getting Lay on Hands every 4 seconds. So I can kind of see why they did it, but it is really jarring that they don't heal because they've always healed since Wrath when they introduced them. But at least now they're an actual cooldown, because they did spend the last 3 expansions being a bit not... You just pressed them because they were there.
Right, okay.
Yeah. It was on the, I guess, the timer of a cooldown, but it didn't really do a lot outside of healing.
And the other cooldown we get, which is our artifact trait, is basically it's another single target cooldown, and for 6 seconds, all auto attacks have a guaranteed chance to proc Wind Fury, and it deals an additional 200% damage. So whilst that's up, you'll get generally 4 to 6 auto attacks, depending. With some traits, you can maybe push it to 8, and they'll all proc really heavy hitting Wind Furies. They'll all generate that Maelstrom, so you'll get a surge of Maelstrom as well. And any abilities that can proc Wind Fury, so Stormstrike and Crash Lightning, will also proc it with the increased damage. So when that cooldown is up, if you are lucky enough to get a Stormstrike chain, you could proc it over and over again, and you will get a huge amount of burst in a really brief window, which is a really strong aspect of enhancement at the moment.
Okay. What are some advanced tips and tricks then that we can use once we have this base stuff? Like, once I get this base stuff figured out, so it's going to take me a little bit to do that. I'm not going to lie, because it seems so much different than I'm used to. What are some advanced tips and tricks that we can use to bring our game to the next level?
So enhancement is generally, as I've explained, sort of like the ceiling doesn't raise very much, but there's a few little things like Crash Lightning. The buff that it applies does still work in solely single target. So if you can get it and you're wanting to do single target damage only anyway, let's say that you're in a fight where you don't want to AoE that much, but you do still want to burn down a target. So Ilganoth, you could proc that on the Bloods and then turn around and you could kill a tentacle. And it would be dealing the extra AoE damage to just that target in front of you, which is completely free damage for you, which is a really big deal if you can abuse it. It does really give you a little bit extra sort of damage sneaking in to already increase what is already a really strong single target package that enhancement comes with.
Okay.
And other than that, I've already explained the maintaining of buffs because that is sort of a big deal. And the Crash Lightning after Feral Spirit, those are the two smaller little things that tend to come up. Other than that, generally there's not a lot of gaming that enhancement does. It does sort of play itself in a little bit of a way. So you generally, once you get the flow down, you'll know where you're going. And there's not much that you can do massively wrong as long as you're following that. And there's not much that you can go and sort of sneak a bit more out. It tends to just come down to whether or not it shone down and gave you the RNG of the procs when you needed them.
Okay.
Other little things would be trinkets tend to come up. The general consensus is that a lot of trinkets with Mythic Plus and raids and everything, it's all a bit of a hot mess and they're all quite similar. It depends on what item level you get on them. The only single thing is the trinket from Ilganoth, which is Spontaneous Appendages, is categorically the best trinket you can equip by a large margin, which is unusual because I know not a lot of specs are a big fan of it. And whilst I'm not entirely sure it's intended, the procs that it hits can trigger Stormbringer, and it is the only weapon proc or any proc in the entire game, as far as I'm aware, that those hits can proc. But it can do it, which makes it really, really strong. So if you can get hold of that, doesn't matter on the item level, it can be an LFR one, you'll wear it until the end of Mythic Raids.
Nice. All right. That sounds good. Might have to run some LFR to try and get that then.
Really?
Yeah, really. Well, I'm not bringing my Shaman into our regular raid. I'm just not doing that.
Hey, man, I tanked ours with a warrior.
But you had RNGesus favor you with Corrupted Essences a month ago, where some of us still are barely at 20.
That's right.
So there's that. Yeah, exactly. Is there anything? I know we brought up 7.1.5 a few times, but is there anything else or major that we might want to look for with what's currently on the PTR?
On the PTR right now, the biggest things is that the legendary braces that are tied to Lava Lash are now a lot better. It has been a long-standing joke that they're terrible. They are not. They're quite good now. As of the talents, as explained, tier 15 is a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Fury of Air is really strong. The new legendary, which has had a bit of hype around it, which is the double duration on Bloodlust, is not that good, although it looks it, because it doesn't really allow you to overlap double cooldowns, and you need the full uptime for it. The legendary trinket, I mean, I know talking about legendaries is always a bit bad because we're never going to get them, as I have long since resigned myself to. The legendary trinket is really, really strong. The fights in Nighthold itself, and considering the changes on the PTR to enhancement, really lend themselves to enhancement. So despite the fact that there has been some perceived nerfs to enhancement, those nerfs are stretched to other classes as well. So the biggest one was the agility 5% crit loss across the board. The other things aren't that impactful. Enhancement is still fine, and it does still do really well in Nighthold. So I could tentatively just say don't worry that much about it right now. But if it does get bad, I'm sure you'll see me complaining on Twitter or somewhere like that about it. But I've found on the PTR that we are really strong, and there are a lot of options, which is something that we haven't had this whole expansion. And it allows us to play into fights. So I'd say we're on the higher rung of melee. Very, dangerously say that, because I know a lot of people very quickly don't like people rating melee. But I think enhancement is doing fine.
All right. Rob, do you have any other questions?
So it's coming across slightly daunting. What would you say is the biggest thing for somebody who is interested in it? Because obviously it's ridiculously fun. You know, is it just a matter of practice, muscle memory? What's like the best way to approach it? Because I played a lot of specs and a lot of classes, and this is coming across a lot different than most other ones do.
I'd say the most vital thing, if you really, really want to pick up enhancement and play it, is that you do need an add-on of some type to track your buffs or tell you when they aren't up. The personal resource display that they've added is a good starting point. I personally, like the weak auras that I share with people are very similar in appearance to that. You just need a way of knowing what the state of the game is right now and whether or not you need to do something. Once you have that on board, it then comes down to, say, a few hours on a training dummy, just practicing over and over, seeing if you can make sure that you can keep the buffs up all the time while reacting to your procs.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get that practice in, it is a very, very practice-intensive spec, I have to say. I think enhancement always has been for me. It's something that I spent a lot of time doing in the past, where I'd sit on a dummy and just try and make sure that you get used mm-hmm. to it. It does really sort of flow into itself, and once you've got that down, it clicks. There is like a magic point where it just all feels like you're doing it right. You know what's happening. You've sort of got into the secret club, as it were. But before you get there, it does feel like it's just not quite there, right? It's not. There's a little bit missing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because a lot of the beta for me was like that, where I was learning and trying the new spec and everything, and especially with the latency on there, it was really unusual. But once you had it with good latency and you played it a bit, it all just it's really cliche, but it speaks to you as to what to do. It's not subtle. It doesn't hide what you should be doing. It really is very obvious. When something's going wrong, it's very obvious in logs and in meters as well.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Rob, you got anything else?
No, that was it. I mean, some of these ones really kind of, you know, it's a matter of muscle memory and putting in the time. But I think mm-hmm. I think we've definitely seen some enhancement shaman that just get in there and lay the smack down. And it's fun as heck, and the fact that you're actually holding Doomhammer this time around, I think, is just brings a new, you know, and the Order Hall is one of the coolest looking ones. Honestly, it looks amazing. So
without a doubt, it's amazing. I love the Maelstrom.
Oh yeah, I think even if you're not like really sure, you just want to dip your toe in the water, you got a shaman that's 100, and you just want to check it out. Go check it out, man. The artifact quest line is super fun, and the order hall is super cool. And I think getting the artifact will kind of set you on what the pace for how it's going to play out. So I'm excited to kind of push through my initial apprehension.
And the one overwhelming thing for Legion, for enhancement, that has always been a problem, I think, in the past, is that this is the first expansion for a long time where all of the damage is coming from you. In the last two expansions, it's been your fire elemental, your pets, and other things. Now it feels like you are in control of how much damage you do, which is a big feeling, I think, for Shaman in general. It's a big feeling for me, because mm-hmm. in the past it was always plan your cooldowns, let your pets do the work a bit. Now it feels like I'm the one that's beating something up, and really beating it up as well for the first time in a long time for enhancement. That you're really like in a high rung on the class spectrum. And you can see it represented now. It's the first time in a long time that you see a lot of enhancement in world first raids and things like that. That's not been present for quite a while. So there's obviously, they've done something right, this expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it. I like hearing that too. I think they're in a really strong place.
Is there any last point you want to make about enhancement before we start wrapping this up?
I think I've made my peace very much.
All right.
Well, if you want to send an email to the show at thetrainingdummies.com, or if you have anything else to add to this topic or have questions about future topics, please feel free to leave us a voicemail. Or you know what? Scratch all that. Just come into our Discord. That information is over at thetrainingdummies.com. That is literally the best way to get a hold of us, and it's like the instant way to make contact. So maybe I think we should update this. Just Discord. Let's do it.
All right, Discord it is. Hit it. It seems fate has
brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob, what do you got for shoutouts this week?
Definitely Salty. And I wasn't at Raid last week, so I know it's his birthday today. So happy birthday to my bro tank, Salty, and to him, and especially to Darnie for holding it down while I could not be present for Raid last week, and all the rest of y'all who pushed through some new heroic bosses while I wasn't there. And to Ward Up, thank you so much, because not only do you know your stuff, your accent is super rad to listen to, and I really learned a lot this episode, so thank you very much.
Thanks.
Daryl, what about you?
Yeah, the same with the tanks. I know Salty during the raid was saying that the DK episode we did really helped him, and he felt better about his play, which is fantastic. And yeah, Darnie as well for stepping in since you couldn't make it on Friday. A big shout out to her for coming in and tanking some new bosses for us. You know, we got three of them down, and the last one was at 5%, and we wiped it 5% like three times. So I'm sure we'll get it this week anyway. And a big shout out to everyone in the raid team for pushing through those wipes and getting some new bosses down. It was fantastic. And as well, Word Up. Yes, thank you for coming on and helping me understand my old main. It still sounds weird to say that it's not my main anymore, but anyway.
You're welcome back anytime.
Hey, well, this is all about redemption, man. You can make it right again.
Right. Well, it was only one day behind my Warlock. I got my Warlock to level 110 on, I think it was a Friday, and then Saturday I had my Shaman there. So, but anyway, thank you for coming on. That was excellent. Really appreciate it. Do you have any shout-outs this evening?
The only shout-out I could honestly give is to the Shaman Discord, which is linked in the thing, but it said, I think it's discord.gg/earthshrine. It's got its own link. It's very fancy. The guys in there are really good at just answering the questions of other people, because I'm only there intermittently. And it's a really, really busy community. It's very, very obviously full of Shaman. And the Enhancement Channel in particular has got a fairly good atmosphere compared to quite a few of the other Discords that I frequent. So I definitely shout out to all of those.
Well, before we put a nail in this coffin, Mr. Word Up, where can people reach you if they have questions or they want to pick your brain about Enhancement Shaman?
Well, the easiest place to reach me is on Twitter, which is at Von_WordUp. Don't ask me about the name. That's a very long story. And you can also catch me on YouTube as well, which has had a bit of a break but is picking back up, which is at WordUp834. And then last but not least again is Discord, because you can either find me just as Word Up on Discord or in the Shaman one. It's very easy to poke and get my attention.
All right. Well, that wraps up episode 148 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust. From people you shouldn't.